Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. Apple today has announced a new incentive program for exercising at certain gyms using your Apple Watch. Through the new Apple Watch Connected program, gym-goers can receive rewards including membership discounts, Apple and Nike gift cards, and more. At launch, four partners are teaming up with Apple for the new program. Those include Orange Theory Fitness, Basecamp, the YMCA, and Crunch Fitness. Details of the Apple Watch Connected program will vary depending on your gym of choice. Orange Theory, for instance, will reward its members with Nike and Apple Store gift cards based on their fitness commitment and progress throughout the year. Crunch will offer up to $300 off gym fees over the course of 2 years, while YMCA earnings will go towards unspecified community initiatives. Basecamp will give gym goers the ability to earn back the cost of their Apple Watch Series 5. Most of these programs will require Gym Kit compatible or Apple Watch connected equipment, but again, the specifics will vary by each gym. Each gym is free to set its own fitness goals, but the idea is that they are personalized to each member and intended to be challenging yet realistic. Apple also clearly hopes that this new Apple Watch Connected program will boost adoption of Gym Kit, which so far is rather limited in scope. But ultimately, it will be up to the individual gyms to decide how to integrate Apple Watch with the new incentive program, so it remains to be seen how many of those gyms will choose to go the Gym Kit route. In other news, Apple is reportedly asking its chipmaker, TSMC, to increase production of the A13 processor due to higher-than-anticipated iPhone 11 demand. Bloomberg reports that the iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro are selling particularly well in China. The report says that the demand for iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro is outperforming the market and Apple's expectations. In turn, Apple is asking TSMC to increase production of the A13 processor to keep up with that demand. One person who spoke to Bloomberg specifically cited the entry-level iPhone 11 as the source of most of that demand. Meanwhile, this fall's iPhone 12 lineup is expected to feature the next iteration of Apple's A-series processors, likely called the A14. TSMC is reportedly on schedule to start production of the A14 processor using a new 5-nanometer process in the second quarter. The A13 processor was made on a 7-nanometer process, so the updated 5-nanometer process of the A14 should mean it's more power efficient and faster. Early estimates say that the A14 processor could rival the 15-inch MacBook Pro in terms of performance. But another reason Apple is increasing production of the A13 is to account for the upcoming launch of a new low-cost iPhone model with the iPhone 8 design and the A13 processor inside. Bloomberg says that this device is expected to enter production next month and be released as early as March. The iPhone SE 2 or iPhone 9 or whatever it ends up being called is expected to start at $399 and focus on incentivizing current iPhone 6 users to upgrade to something newer and capable of running iOS 13. Rounding out today, this year officially marks the end of an era. As announced in 2017, Adobe will stop supporting the once-ubiquitous Flash by the end of this year. With the newest release of its Safari Technology Preview browser this week, Apple has taken the next step as part of its efforts to end all usage of Flash in Safari. Safari Technology Preview is essentially the beta version of Safari for Mac OS. It's an experimental version of the browser that allows developers and other users to report bugs and performance issues before the changes are released to everyone. Hidden in the changelog for this week's release of Safari Technology Preview version 99 is the small but notable detail that the release removes all support for Adobe Flash. This means that you can no longer install or use Adobe Flash at all in Safari. For almost everyone, this shouldn't come as a hindrance at all. Apple stopped pre-installing Flash on the Mac all the way back in 2010, and up until now, users had been able to install Flash on their own if they really needed it, but even still, Apple started disabling Adobe Flash by default with Safari 10 in macOS Sierra. While we don't yet know when Apple will officially drop support for Adobe Flash in the public version of Safari, one thing is clear. Now that 2020 is here, we can look forward to the official death of Flash, which should have actually happened many years ago. That wraps up another week of 9 to 5 Mac Daily. We'll be back on Monday with a full week of Apple news. But in the meantime, if you like the show, be sure to subscribe in the Apple Podcasts app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. As always, it would also be tremendously helpful if you left us a rating and a review to help more people find the show. You can keep up with all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back on Monday for a new week of 9to5Mac Daily.